The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming on Sunday, September 10th, 2017 with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and he has given us light. Let us pray. Father, almighty and eternal God, whose glory we find revealed in the person of your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, it is in his name that we come to worship and honor you this day. Claiming the sacrifice of your Son, we stand before you as redeemed people, justified and sanctified in his name. Be here with us this morning as we offer our prayers and praise in supplication. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
By the blood I may enter your brightness. A reading from the letter of Paul to the Romans, chapter 13, verses 8 through 14. Owe no one anything except to love one another. For the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are all summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of God for the people of God.
Romans 13 gives a lot of people reason to pause. It starts out talking about government and our reactions to that, and it causes us in our Sunday school class some lively discussions about things like that. And we arrive at verse 11, and Paul begins to change and give us a little bit more of a picture of us in our walk together. So let's look at verses 8 through 14, and let's see what Paul is telling us this morning. I want to do what's called a little exegetical work as we go through this. I've actually got some stuff here from Merriam-Webster that I'm going to share with you in some of this stuff, because some of these words are not everyday English, you know. They don't really make a lot of sense. So let's look at these verses together for just a minute. Owe no one anything. Don't owe them anything except to love one another. In other words, if somebody has done you a service, be willing to do that service back. The other thing is, don't be a debtor. Don't be indebted. You know, it's always said, what was it, that song that Tennessee Ernie Ford used to sing? I owe my soul to the company store. You know, you got to watch out when you got a lot of that piled up around you. Somebody else is telling your note. I always tell people, they'll say, well, Jimmy, why don't you get you a new truck? People pick on me about that all the time. My trucks are pretty good. They've only got a few 100,000 miles on them each. One truck's only got 350 or 60,000 miles on it, so it's still good. I can't think about a payment or taking money from someplace else. It just bothers me. Carrie would really like to get out of that F-350 truck that she looks so little driving. You just kind of see her head above the steering wheel. But we just, you know, think about that. You know, think about that. But, oh, no, one thing, except to love them. Except to love them. We are called love, and Paul's back with this again. We talked about sincere love, and we talked about those three elements of love last week, and we come back, and Paul is still here, except to love another. When we have loved another, we have fulfilled the law, the commandments, not the suggestions. Always remember, they're the Ten Commandments, not the suggestions. Jesus gave us one more, and a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. So there's 11 commandments, not suggestions. You shall not commit adultery. You know all of these. They are all summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. A lot of people have asked me over the years, Pastor, how did Jesus fulfill all of the law? How did he fulfill? How did he just fulfill? He loved us enough to die for us. Love fulfills the law by making there's no way that you violate the law in love. And then Paul says, besides this, not just that, in addition to, besides that, you know what time it is? how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. Church, it is time for the church to wake up. We've lost this ideal. As Paul goes on and says, salvation is nearer now than when you began. We've lost this, evangelical idea that Christ could come anytime and it could be now. We think and we've been lulled to sleep and we just kind of complacent about it and we just kind of, you know, there's no conviction about it. How many of us are really living a life? How many want Jesus to come back right now and judge you? Right now. How many of us are ready to stand naked and alone in front of God to give an account? It's going to happen. And you know what? We started worship at 10:30, and it's closer to that happening now than it was when we started. Whether it's you drop dead and start over, or if he comes back. He could come back anytime, church. You need to read your book. Did you know that every sign that forecasts the coming of Jesus has occurred? He can come back today and not be in violation of what he said would be occurring. Now, you can go over and jump in Revelation, and if you know, we'll talk about that another time or place. But he could come back anytime. Are we ready? Have we done all we can? Have we reached out and served him? I haven't. Have you? I'm no different. I sometimes get complacent. Do you? Sometimes the couch is more comfortable than getting up and doing something, right? Sometimes something else seems to get in the way. Anybody else struggle with that? How many of you juggle time or used to juggle it? You know, I don't juggle well. So I have trouble with the time juggling thing. It's always been my Achilles heel. If I have lists, and on my workbench in the garage, if you look, there's two columns. There's the gym list for home and the gym list for church. And I have to check stuff off. That's the only way that I feel like I can be productive. It's like start mow the grass, wash the truck, and take a little break. You know, you got to have that checklist. Anybody else got one of those? Come on. If you don't have one, how do you do it? You can tell me after church. Beside this, you know what time it is? It's the moment for you to wake from sleep for salvation. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness. Have you ever noticed that's when all the bad stuff seems to happen in the dark? How many of you have ever had a cold or the flu, and during the day you felt pretty good, but let the sun go down? You start stopping up. You start coughing. Lay down to go to sleep, and what do you start doing? Coughing, 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 coughing. It just shows up that way. Or how many of you have just been dog tired, lay down, and your mind goes over everything that's happened that day? Ain't no way to slow it down. It's just going. It's like I just get up and go get me a cup of coffee and stay up with it because it's going to keep me up anyway. If I do go to sleep, I'm going to flip and flop and turn, and I wake up looking like a mummy rolled up in everything, you know. That's the way it goes, isn't it? Put off the darkness. Put off those things. Lay aside and put on the whole armor of God of light. Let us live honorably. Carrie's got this little book, and it's, what's the name of it, The Dash. Take out your bulletin, turn it over to the back. You've got a little extra space. Everybody do this. Get you a pencil. You got a little extra space right under Greg's little article here. Right here. I'm giving you time to get it. Do you need a pencil up here? Everybody got a pencil? Because you need to do this. Don't sit and look at me. I'll loan you one. I got one. Come on, Sue. I know you got a pencil over there. You take notes on people. So you got it? Now then, I want you to write your birth date right here. Write your birth date. Write it down. Now I want you to write a dash right beside that. Now, I don't want you to write down your date of death because that probably hadn't happened yet. If it has, you hadn't let me know. You know, anybody caught dying during service will be buried following. So that's just the way it'll be. We'll wait till we get done, then we'll take care of things. But now just put some question marks over there because it ain't done yet, is it? God's not finished with you yet, is he? Still a lot of open there. But what does your dash say? Your whole life is represented by a small piece of punctuation, if you will, at your timeline. What is your legacy? What are you leaving behind? How will you be remembered? Every funeral I do is on the line, literally. What will your dash say? Church, it's our watch. It's our time. We are called to put off some stuff. Let's look at it. Let us lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day. Because you can't hide in the daylight, right? You keep that bulletin. You keep thought on that. That's a good little reflection. I'll preach a whole sermon on it sometime. Let us live honorably, not in reveling. What is reveling? Anybody know what that is? Kind of revving your motors up. Party! Hottie! It's the stupid party that goes to excess. It's putting everything else aside just to have some fun. It's that reveling. It's that going out with buds and friends and everything else to the detriment of everything else around you. It's going to excess. It's putting off the things that we should do for the things that we just want to kind of hang out and do. It's that party style. It's that reveling. It has in it this idea of rebellion, of turning away from that which we should do for that which we want to do, that go out and just have a big time. Have you ever noticed that everybody has to have a drink on TV anymore? And they have to go to a party in every show that you've got. You know, you can't go watch a football game anymore and not get drunk. Did you know this is University of Wyoming's first home game is this weekend? Do you know what? I was down there in Laramie this week for meetings and stuff. And do you know what? I was amazed. I drove by there. Big Nick lives out there. Out from what I found was the tailgate parking lot. You can rent you a spot to go get drunk on because it ain't on school property. Did you know that? Oh, you're afraid to confess it, aren't you? You don't want to. You didn't know that? Really? It's huge. You can park 1,100 cars in it. And they paint the lines like you do for the football field. So if you puke or whatever, I guess you're not having to wash it off the asphalt. They just grade it over and redo it. It's this reveling. It's this going against. And then it's that excessiveness. And then the drunkenness. Folks, a glass of wine with dinner ain't going to send you to hell, but a case a day might get you there quickly. It's this excessiveness, whether it's excessiveness of drugs, alcohol, whatever it is. It's this excessiveness. It is drowning stuff out. It's this excess. And there's more areas than just drinking where we can have excess in our lives. Sometimes we need a Hyundai, but we wind up with a gold-plated Cadillac. Sometimes we need a two-bedroom, but we got five. I'm sometimes amazed. I walk into some of the biggest monstrous houses someplace back east. It's the big thing, especially on the golf courses back there and on the lakes. They got these monsters, two people living in it. It's a little excessive, isn't it? A little. When they gone, the kid's going to sell it and spend the money anyway. So, you know, maybe it's a good way to leave it back there. Then, not in debauchery. Here's what I want to read this to. Debauchery and licentiousness. Those are odd words, aren't they? Debauchery. Merriam-Webster defined these as this. Extreme. This is debauchery. Extreme indulgence in bodily pleasures Bodily pleasures. What can we put in that list? Bodily pleasures. Now you think on it. Especially sexual pleasures. Behavior involving sex, drugs, alcohol, that is often considered immoral. I was amazed. Often considered. But not always. Wow. Licentiousness. Lacking moral restraints. Especially disregarding sexual restraints, licentious behavior marked by disregard for rules or correctedness. Wow. I could have almost read the headlines out of that, couldn't I? Of a society and culture in which we live today. Anything goes. And anything's all right. Pornography, number three in the United States for industry today. Number three, folks. And since the advent of the personal computer in the home, it's the number one addiction in men in America today. It's the number one addiction is pornography. Number one, because you can sneak it in and hide it and do it in there. There's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. And you know what's really wrong with that? The line that used to be that used to be different between the Christian and the world has blurred and got fuzzy, and it doesn't look different now. Those same instances of addictions to these things, licentiousness and debauchery, happen at the same rates in the church as they do in the world today. Regretfully. These things of excess, you see, we're playing Christian instead of being Christian. We're playing Christian. We're faking it out. I get fussed at all the time because I'm too hard. I'm too rigid. I'm too conservative. And I'm too whatever. That's fine. Because I think this is my guide. And it needs to be all of ours. You see, most people today, they like to read the Bible and use it to change people's ideas and opinions. Folks, the Bible is written to change you into God's will and way. Not for you to use it for your agendas. It's for us to grow in His love and correct our ways. Then this reads us to what have we got going on today? Not in quarreling and jealousy. Man, have you seen anything like that lately? Come on. You have, haven't you? People don't like it. If you got something they don't have, they think they deserve it. Nobody grumbles about it. We're the only place in the world that's rich enough to pay $20 a piece for a steak dinner to grumble over instead of be thankful for. Aren't we? Then it says, don't do this. Paul begs us, don't do this. Instead of all this, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify His desires. We've talked about that struggle within, and Paul has talked to us about that. And he says, put on Jesus. Don't give it room. Put on Jesus. Jesus, Jesus it to death. When the devil shows up, put Jesus on him. When the temptation comes, put Jesus on him. When that thing flashes up and that web, whatever happens, turn it off. Do something with it. The application for us. How many of you have ever been in the military? I know Greg has. Anybody else? Come on, if you've been in the military, I need your help. Stand up for me just a minute, because I want to ask you some questions. Did you ever serve fire watch? Did they call it that? Guard duty? Guard duty. Did you guard during the day or during the night? During the night? Normally during the night. Sometimes you had some guard duties during the day. Now let me ask you a question. How hard was it to stay awake about an hour before sunup? At times pretty hard. What was going on about then? A little of this? Yeah. Now why have I got them up here on the spot? Did you sit down and do guard duty? Why not? You can sit down now. Because you go to sleep quicker sitting down. And if you go to sleep standing up, you fall down. So, you know, they know you've been asleep. The reality is, church, it's easy about daylight. That's what Paul's saying. The night is far gone. Folks, the time of change, it's our watch. We are on duty. We are called now to be the ones standing in the gap, said no further. We are called to be the body of Christ. It's not someone else's job. It's our watch. It's our turn. It's our duty call. It's our place. It is who we're called to be. But I think we're asleep. I think we've dozed into complacency. I think we've decided that maybe what we need is a fidget spinner. Maybe I can just get lost in the fidget spinners. Maybe I could just get lost and not worry about it. Somebody else will do it. It is our watch. Did you know the things we are doing right now in 2017 at Rock Springs First Methodist Church are setting the stage for the generations that may or may not follow us? It's determining right now the survival of the ministry and the life of this body of Christ right here. Right now. It's our watch. Well, Pastor, I've already done my part. Then why ain't you dead? Because guess what? Retirement ain't in this book. If you're still able to breathe, you're able to praise Him. You're able to do something. But what comes first? What? What is your fidget spinner? What comes first? Are you concerned about lost people, lost family members, your community situation? Are you concerned that there isn't a lot of people in your pews this morning? Are you worried about that? Are you concerned? Then what are you doing about it? It's your watch too. The night is far gone. The day has come. You really get groggy just before the sun comes up. But you know what I found out? I did a lot of guard duties. I called them fire watches when I was in basic training. Because if you got in trouble, you did fire watches. Do you know what a fire watch was in the Marine Corps in basic training? You carried a bucket, a 5-gallon bucket of water around all night, just in case there was a fire. I can carry 5 gallons of water pretty handy. What are we doing? Are we snoozing on our watch? I'm going to be challenging us as a church in the next few months to wake from sleep. Well, Pastor, this person did that and this person did that. It's time to get over it. It's time to forgive it, move on, get in the saddle. It's time to find some way to serve Him and to be a part of this family of Christ as we serve the Lord. Pastor, this is a stern word. You bet. We're not called to be pew Christians. You know what pew Christians are, don't you? They just show up on Sunday and sit on a pew. They're smelly. Let's put our fidget spinners away. Church, it's time to wake up. It's our watch. How are we spending it? You may be doing everything you can. You may be saying, yeah, He's finally telling them other people. Well, then maybe you're thinking, well, the people that need to hear this aren't even here this morning. Well, repeat it. Share it. And if you're doing everything, then celebrate that. And I know some of you are. Some of you are busy. I'm not holding you all down. But look at it and ask yourselves, am I serving? Am I awake? Am I ready? Am I concerned? Am I willing? Am I committed? Can I? Will I? Don't wait on somebody else. I learned a long time ago, if I have to wait on somebody else, it's probably not going to get done. How about you? It's called awake. The night is far gone, but the morning is coming. It's our watch. Let our dash be reflected in our love of Christ and our service. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Probably in the time that I have been here, this may be one of the stronger messages that I've shared with you. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But church, I look around our community and I look around our world and I see a place that needs Christ more and more every day. I see children hurting, families broken. I see parents who have just left their kids to no ends. And kids who have lost respect for teachers and authority. And I think, where does that come from? Brokenness. I go in a nursing home and my heart is quickly broken. I see very few people visiting. And I see eyes that look upon me and I can almost hear them say, "Have you come to see me?" The night is far gone. I can look around in this congregation right now and see people who know what it's like to be hurt and to forgive. What a message you have of grace and mercy. I see people who have been through it, stood up to it, and continue to serve. I'm amazed by some people's dedication, willingness, and commitment. But work is more to be done. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning as I've challenged us. I'm going to ask you to pray for your church, which means to pray for yourself too. For we are brothers and sisters and neighbors in Christ Jesus. Where do you see God calling us as a church? Where do you see God calling us in ministry as the body of Christ? Who are we as a church? What is our identity in Christ? And how are we as a church reaching out and serving Christ? How are we the body of Christ in this community? Indeed, they'll know we're Christians by our love. This is the call of the church. This is the call of us as individuals that make up the body called the church. It is time for us to wake on this hill It's time for us to seek to put on Jesus Christ as our Lord and our light, afresh and anew. Pastor, I know. May we put on the light of Christ fresh and anew in prayer and in service. May we make room for Christ and His will in our lives as we serve our risen Lord. The heads are bowed and eyes are still closed, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands this morning except for one thing. Will you pray for your church? Will you pray for your church? Our gracious and loving God, we have committed to pray for your church, our church, which is we have committed to pray for one another as we seek to do your will, as we seek to serve you, as we seek to be the body of Christ in the world around us. Father, may you lead and may we follow. May we renew our commitment to you. May we feel re-energized to serve you in new ways, maybe in different ways. Maybe we haven't really made a commitment. Maybe our effort has been sort of. Maybe it's only been token. Maybe there even what we've done hasn't had any joy in it. Father, bring that all back. That there would be joy and excitement to see and to share with those who have yet to know you. May you truly hear our hearts and prayers. Stir us from our slumber, maybe from our contentment, maybe from our hesitations and reservations, maybe from stir us from thinking someone else will do that. Stir our commitment to you. Renew your Holy Spirit in us. Empower us to serve you first in our lives. And that everything we do, that we live honorably, with the light of Christ as our armor, with Him as our Lord, even with our imperfections, may we live humbly before you, but may we truly awake. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, that your joy may be full, that your joy
Now may we go to serve you, empowered by you, clothed in the light of Christ. May we realize that the night is far gone, but the daylight has come. Father, it is our watch, it is our time, it is our call. May we serve you with renewed energies, commitment, and passion. May we pray for one another and love one another. For around this congregation this morning are hands being held, names being shared, for we are on this journey together, not alone, but together. And now may we go together in Christ's grace and mercy. In the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.